Pathway to Promise podcast, episode number 10, Going Beyond Desperation by Going Deeper with author Frank Viola.
Hey, this is Cliff Ravenscraft from PodcastAnswerMan.com, and you're listening to Dr. Brad Miller. He is going to help you do all the good you can.
We live in America, and we think of the good life as having money in the bank, and you know, we're free from debt, and we have a lot of possessions, and we're educated, and you know, we can move up the ladder in our career. But there is something that Jesus called the abundant life. And that blows the soot out of the good life, beyond the good. And it's what all human beings crave. And this is the reason, Brad, why many, many extremely wealthy people are miserable.
You're on the Pathway to Promise with Dr. Brad Miller. Brad believes every person has a God-given promised life of peace, prosperity, and purpose, and that you must have a plan and a guide to get there. The Pathway to Promise podcast not only is your guide through the wilderness of depression and disappointment that stand between you and your promised life, but also brings you insights and direction from inspiring, successful thought leaders who have transformed their lives. Welcome to the Pathway to Promise. Now, here's Brad.
Hello, my good friend, and welcome to episode number 10 of the Pathway to Promise podcast with Dr. Brad Miller. That is I. I'm so glad that you have joined with me today, and we can engage in a conversation about things that matter, about things that go deep with you and with me, about getting through desperation in your life and in mine in order to deal with the things that matter, the deeper things. That's what our theme is going to be about here today on the Pathway to Promise podcast. We have a great guest with us, author Frank Viola. He is we're going to have a lot of fun here today. You're going to really enjoy our conversation that Frank and I have today. We're going to be talking about going deeper in our lives and to the things that make all the difference in the world. And it makes all the difference in the world to us that you've joined us here today on the Pathway to Promise podcast, because what we are all about is the understanding that God has given you a promised life of peace, prosperity, and purpose. But in order to get to that promised life, you really need a pathway. You need a pathway and a guide, and with the proper people to help you do just that. And when you do that, you can change your life quickly. You can make profound changes, and that can get you to that promised life of peace and prosperity and purpose. And that's what we're here to do. I've spent my life working in the area of life transformation. I've been pastor of a church for 35 years. I've been privileged to be a part of people's lives when you've seen dramatic life change happen, and love to be a part of that. Read a lot of books about this, studied a lot of people. Study this whole process of what it takes to quickly change your life in a profound manner. And I've had some changes in my life, in my spiritual life, in my emotional life, and in my in my life with my physical health. I lost a lot of weight. Some things that I've done, and I even went so far as to study this academically. I've got a doctoral degree in transformational leadership. So I got a little bit of an understanding of what it takes, but the most important thing that I believe is this ongoing conversation, this ongoing deeper life conversation that you and I can have in order to help facilitate changing your life. That's why I'm here, and that's why this podcast exists, to be a means to provide a tool and a resource and a sounding board for us to try to find a place, a way, a pathway for you to change your life for the better from where you're at now. Because we all have things that we deal with. You know, when my father died a year or so ago, and I went through a little bit of time of the blues and depression in order to understand and deal with that. I've gone through a divorce in my life, and that's been a difficult time. I've had major health struggles that I've had to deal with in my life. That's just a lot of what you have too, isn't it? Financial difficulties, I've struggled with those as well, and I've came through a lot of those. Still got more struggles to go, of course. You do as well. But together we can work through a lot of things, and it takes an understanding that there's a process that you can go through in order to go through the wilderness journey that it takes in order to achieve a better life, what I like to call the promised life. I think there's some biblical metaphors for this. The 40-day journeys of Noah and the ark and Jesus in the wilderness, all kinds of other things like that about the journey that takes place. Moses up in the mountains to receive the Ten Commandments. Lots of biblical metaphors, but there's metaphors in all of our lives in order to understand this process. But it does take a process, and you just can't do it on your own. So what I like to call upon then is great people in the areas of resources in our mental health, in our psychological well-being, in our physical health, and in our spiritual depth. And today I've got an author with me, Frank Viola, who helps touch the base on a few of these areas. He is just a very prolific author and writer and blogger and podcaster, and many of you are familiar with his work. He's written over 25 books, and one of my favorites was the Jesus Manifesto, understanding the very nature of Jesus, how that applies to our life. He also wrote the book From Eternity to Here, which is about understanding the purpose of God. And if you understand the purpose of God, that helps you understand your personal purpose as well. And he's got lots of great stuff happening, including a upcoming book, which should be fascinating, which is called Insurgents, Reclaiming the Kingdom of God. You can find Frank at frankviola.org. He also has his own podcast called The Deeper Journey, and he's been very prolific, to say the least. But today, he's going to be talking about how we can overcome and get through desperation, and to do that by going into a deeper life together. We are so glad that you have joined us here on the Pathway to Promise podcast. And if you enjoy what you're hearing, please spread the good news to others. Please go to our website, pathwaypromise.com. There's a place you can find a free gift for you if you'd like to have that free gift, which is a guide to help you start and end your day productively. It's called the 4-Minute Way to Frame Your Day for Success. And it's there for you at pathwaypromise.com. We've got some other resources there for you as well, as well as the catalog of all the episodes of the Pathway to Promise podcast that's there for you. We'd find it just really helpful if you could go to iTunes and give us a review, give us a rating, a review, and a subscription there. It would be so helpful. And this is an added bonus. If you go over to if you're listening to us on iTunes and go there and leave a review, somebody's going to have an opportunity. We're going to have a drawing to receive a signed copy of Frank Viola's book, From Eternity to Here. And we'll make that available. If you leave a review on our iTunes page, leave a review there and leave your email and say, I'd like the book. And we'll put you in the drawing for that. Thanks again for being with us. We're here to be helpful to you and help you find your pathway to promise in your life. And one of the ways we're going to do that is helping you to define the desperation in your life and then get the tools and the processes, the disciplines to move through that by going deeper in your life. That's our promise here today on the Pathway to Promise podcast, as we have a great conversation with author Frank Viola. So let's get into that conversation right now. We are in for a really, really fun time, as our guest today is Frank Viola. Frank is the author of over 25 books, which includes the Jesus Manifesto. That's a personal favorite of mine, made an impact to me. He also wrote The Day I Met Jesus. And it recently came out with a titanic 800-page There Must Be More. I use that book for my weightlifting exercises. It's such a huge book. And he's also got a book upcoming called Insurgents, subtitled Reclaiming the Kingdom of God. Frank has written hundreds of blog posts. You can catch that at frankviola.org. He has a podcast, The Deeper Journey. To say the least, Frank has produced a lot of content. And a part of our conversation will be, today will be how he produces that content and about his course, prolificcourse.com. Everything Frank produces is designed to take you and me on a deeper journey. And, of course, that is a part of our mission and purpose here at the Pathway to Promise. Frank Viola, welcome to the Pathway to Promise podcast. Frank.
Thanks so much. I'm really glad to be here, Brad, and looking forward to it.
Wonderful, Frank. Hey, Frank, really interested in all the things that you're involved with, but I just, this overall theme of going deeper in your life and helping your readers and the people you touch in your podcast and your conferences is about going deeper. But I got a feeling there's a story there with you about how you went deeper yourself and to get into this niche, this process of really going deeper yourself and helping others. Tell me a little bit about that. What happened with you to help you to go and to go deeper in your life?
Well, when I was 16 years old, I came to the Lord and I had a dramatic conversion where it left me hungry and thirsty to know more about Jesus Christ. I wanted to know him. I wanted to know everything I could about the scripture, and I was also interested in how we got here. Mm-hmm. So I took a special fascination in church history. And during my late high school and college years, I spent a lot of time trying to fulfill that hunger and thirst for the Lord. And that sent me on a journey to many parachurch organizations that I was involved in college. It sent me on a journey of visiting and being part of many different denominations in the Protestant world. And what I discovered was that everywhere I went, I would receive something of Christ, but then it would stop. And it almost seemed like what I had learned in a particular denomination or movement was just being repeated over and over again to the point where I was saying within myself, in my heart, there's got to be more than this. So that I would go on to another denomination or another kind of church or another movement. And so my background is very eclectic. I never sunk my roots deeply into one particular stream of the body of Christ. I have drunk from many wells. And all of it to say that the journey led me on this odyssey where I was crying out, there's got to be more than this. And so that led me into many different areas where I started reading people outside the movements I was a part of. I came across a person named T. Austin Sparks, which many modern-day Christians have never heard of. And I found the something more, at least the tip of the iceberg of it.
Okay.
And realized that there was so much more to Jesus Christ and so much more to the scripture and understanding the scripture and knowing him than I had ever realized or had been exposed to. And so I am still on this journey, but certainly a lot further along on it than I was when I was in college. And so I have found that many, many Christians, they get to a certain point in their life where they're crying out the same theme, the same song. There must be more than this. And so that's what my ministry really is to and for.
Absolutely. Well, it seems like this constant searching and yearning and going deeper has also been the process you've gone through, and you've also become very passionate about producing content and doing other things to help other people who have the same thing. I have a sense in my own life that I just call it the disease of meaninglessness that people have in their lives, and I am all about trying to help people find meaningfulness. But what are some of the as you try to share what you've gone deeper with others, What are some of the challenges that you're finding? What are some of the problems that you're facing in helping share this with other people? What are some of the barriers?
I think the main thing is that if a person is very content in, say, a church setting that is teaching what I would call milk, to use a scriptural metaphor.
Okay.
And, you know, the Christian life is basically a supplement to their overall living. You know, it's just something they do along with sports and along with, you know, binging on TV shows and along with, you know, having parties with friends or whatever. Then the deeper message, the deeper Christian life, as Andrew Murray once coined it, is not really appealing to them. There's just, it's not on the radar. It's of no interest. But to move a person from that place to where they're hungering and even realizing that there's more to the Lord and more to Christ and more to the church and more to the scripture than they've ever realized, it takes some kind of a, I believe, a breaking from God or an event that occurs in their life where they're put in a place of desperation. So that really is one of the major obstacles. The other obstacle is to the many people in the clergy, pastors and teachers who are the leaders of the body of Christ. What I have found, Brad, is that for the most part, that world is an echo chamber, meaning that most pastors today, at least in the United States, simply repeat what they hear other pastors teach and say.
And so they're the ministry of regurgitation.
So they're basically all saying the same things. And when you peel back the onion, there's really no depth to it. And often there's no reality to it. It's very superficial. It's very shallow. It's Christianity 101. And oftentimes it misses the heartbeat of the New Testament. Let me give you one example. I have spoken in conferences where I have talked about Galatians 2:20, where Paul says, "It is not I, but Christ who lives in me." And most pastors, even listening to this audio, will shake their head and say, "Amen." Not I, but Christ who lives in me. But then if I raise the question, okay, how? Where's the practical handle of how you, as a mortal human being, a fallen human being, can actually live by the indwelling life of Christ? How do you do that? Well, that's where you're going to get the thousand-yard stare.
And that's also where the rubber hits the road, when it is the actual application.
What are you doing?
What is the fruits of your life? Absolutely.
Yes. And so most that's just one example of how most sermons are swimming lessons on dry ground. There's no real practical handle. People take notes. You know, it goes into one ear and into the notebook, and then it's put on a shelf. And until God's people are given practical handles of how do you walk in this way, how do you live by Christ who lives in you, as one example, which we virtually never hear about, until that happens, everything is theoretical for the most part. And, you know, it takes a special kind of person, meaning they're desperate, to get to the point where they even care about that question. You know what I mean? Where they say, "Wow, I would like to know how to live by the indwelling life of Christ." So that's what my ministry is for. It's to those people who have that question, or if they hear the question, they're actually arrested by it and want to know more.
So it's stopped in the tracks. It seems to me, so many folks, it has to be that crisis. They lose their job. Have a death in the family. They get that diagnosis of cancer. They have a divorce, whatever it is, and they have to get hit with that really dramatic thing that crushes them in order for them to, that adversity, in order for them to even think about or seek out that deeper thing. And I think that's the case. I'm not sure how you feel about it. I think you do. But overcoming this adversity is just a huge obstacle for folks, and especially if people don't have faith. What do you think are some of the ways that some problems and obstacles that people face that we can take action, you know, through what you teach here? What are some of the action points? What are some of the bold actions that we can take to deal with this when those crisis moments come?
Well, I think I think people, you know, when they're in a crisis, they're either going to turn harder to the Lord or further away from Him. And so, you know, many people have started out on the race of the Christian walk and gotten so far, and then when, you know, an obstacle was thrown in the way, they just walked off the track. And they, you know, they threw in the towel and said, well, this isn't for me. You know, Jesus said, blessed are those who are not offended by me. And he was talking in that context to John the Baptist, who had lived his entire life serving the Lord in ways that trump anything you and I have done. Here's a guy that lived in the wilderness and, you know, was fed by nature and had, you know, not an ounce of luxury or pleasure. And where does he find himself? In a dungeon getting ready to be executed. And the Lord's words to him were, blessed is he, blessed is she who is not offended in me. Once a person gets hold of that and runs to the Lord instead of from him, then Jesus Christ can really reveal himself in some beautiful, precious ways. But I do believe, as we're talking about the deeper things of God, that individual also would do well to be open that there's more to the Lord than they think or they realize. And that's typically, Brad, how people find my work. You know, they're searching online for the deeper things, or there's got to be more than this, or a certain topic in their life, and then they may hit my website or find a book or something of that nature. So, yeah, my ministry is not really for the masses. It's not for, the every Christian. It's really for those desperate souls who have come to the point in their life, either through being weary of trying to live the Christian life and they're just exhausted with it,
right.
Or they have come to a point where they're desperate and hungry for more of the Lord, and they know there's got to be more than this. But no, I would just say that, you know, the Lord is very near to those who are hurting, and he is ever willing to open himself up to those who really seek him. We can find this in both the Old and New Testament.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's the whole thing about that desperation that people have. I just think it's, you know, really prevalent in our society right now, that people are really searching and hungering for things that matter, and sometimes they seek it out in some pretty unhealthy ways and some pretty destructive ways. And that's part of this role of responsibility for those of us who do want to go a little bit deeper, is to help us to help folks to challenge that and face their issues. What are some of the, you've mentioned a couple times about how we're helping to others, what are some of the particular obstacles or challenges that you faced in order to overcome some of the things that have challenged you in your life and going deeper?
Yeah, well, you know, there are many different elements to that and aspects to it. Mm-hmm. And one of the aspects I guess I would talk about that would be more far-reaching and probably would speak to many of your listeners, whether they're Christian or not, has to do with the area of being overwhelmed, lacking motivation, lacking focus, and lacking direction in one's life, and feeling, because of all of those ingredients, feeling unproductive. And so, you know, as a person who writes and speaks, and also blogs and podcasts, as you mentioned before, I'm in the content creating business. I am in the arena of taking my experiences and what has helped me and what I have found to be valuable, and then sharing it with others in different venues and in different forms. And in this area of productivity, one of the major obstacles that I faced back in the early 2000s. Was not really coming to a crisis in my life where I didn't really know what clearly is my purpose. You know, what is my life calling? Okay.
Right.
And then, you know, how do I, as more opportunities come to me, given that I'm writing and so forth, I was dabbling in writing back then. How do I become productive, and how do I overcome feeling unmotivated, and how do I handle overwhelm? You know, and so I began a journey on really trying to discover the keys that would work for me personally, where I can be super productive, where I can find my life calling and use that as a gauge, you know, as a GPS almost, to determine and navigate what I should be involved in and what I shouldn't be involved in, you know, what opportunities I should say yes to and what opportunities I should say no to. And so this all really began to stir in me about 2005 when I released my first book, which was a difficult task to do. And in the next 3 years, I spent, Brad, trying to learn everything I could on how do I really get clear on my calling in my life? How do I focus on that? How do I overcome the times of not being motivated? How do I defeat overwhelm? And how do I become super productive without, you know, selling my soul and giving up my life?
Well, let's break it down and just go a little deeper on that actual process. You said you took a 3-year journey to gain clarity about your direction, your purpose, and your role. And what are some of the things that you actually did? Who did you read? What kind of exercises did you do? Did you go to conferences or mastermind groups, whatever? What did you do to help you find your direction here to be as productive as you are now?
Yes. In those days, what I did is I read everything I could online, mostly online, listened to everything I could via audios, via online seminars, everything I could from all of the experts in the productivity realm, all of the experts in the life direction realm, mm-hmm. all of the experts in the motivational realm. Christian, many of whom were Christian, but even non-Christian. You know, I wanted to learn from everybody I could in those days who were writing and speaking on that topic. Now, I never attended a seminar. I never went to a workshop. I never went to a conference on this. All of it was via books, mainly books, and some, online resources. And what I did was I took from all of them the best insights, the best practices. I was really going for the practices.
Okay.
All right, give me a handle. You know,
give me a practical step-by-step thing to do is what I'm
picking
up.
Give me an action step. Yeah.
Right.
I mean, instead of the theory, right? So if I took a book written by somebody who's writing on, say, how to overcome writer's block, for example, I would get past the theory, which, you know, most of the book would be about, you know, precepts and so forth. And
yeah.
I'd get right down to, okay, A, B, C, D, do this, do that. I'm looking for the practical
right.
handle. And so what I would do, Brad, is I would put into practice and experiment with all of it.
Okay.
I would experiment with everything. And then from there, those things were sort of a springboard for me to come up with my own ideas and my own practices and my own experiments. And so after doing that for a period of years, I came up with an entire system, which is very elaborate. I mean, we can't go over it all, but an elaborate system that works for me. And because I've had so many people ask me, how in the world did you write over 25 books in a period of 10 years? How did you, produce this A-list blog where you have over 1,000 blog posts and you've got so many monthly readers? How did you create 2 podcasts? And then on top of that, how do you deal with all your other responsibilities as well as speaking in conferences and so forth? And so what I did was a couple of years ago, I put it all together in a course. I thought, well, you know what? There's no way I can answer all these questions via email or even in a podcast interview. So I created a course that I call Prolific. And people can find it online if they're interested. Prolific Course. It's just one word, prolificcourse.com. And that contains, Brad, my secret sauce that works for me. And I have found that people who've taken the course they have benefited tremendously because many of the things that I've shared with them have worked for them. So that encourages me because it's not just tailor fitted for me, even though
it sounds like you're responding to the need you had and the research that you did, that you needed to find that, you know, basically a point by point course, you know, course of what to do next. Here's point A leads to point B, and here's will lead us down this pathway to be in the end productive. Do you remember some of the authors or some of the resources that you used to help you formulate this? Some of the people who helped you?
Oh, gosh. You know, I got to tell you, it was so long ago, I don't really remember a lot of the names. But it's kind of a blur. But what I do know is that I took, you know, if I read a book, for example, I would take away maybe 10 points, actionable steps. So, you know, after reading maybe 30 books like that, I have a list of, you know, several hundred actionable steps in different areas. And then I would go about trying to experiment and see what worked. Mm-hmm. But out of that, as I say, and this is one of the principles of creativity, a large part of creativity is making connections. So I would take some of those, practices that I learned from some other people. But then I would create my own hybrid, or a new practice would come out of that. You know what I mean?
Okay.
That looked similar, but not identical.
You made it your own. You owned it yourself.
Yeah. And well, more than owning it, it's something new was born that,
I see,
you know, wasn't found in the original. So a lot of the things, you know, that I've come up with, are unique to me as far as I know. And then other things are sort of tested, tried and true, that you see reappear in many, many of these kinds of books and audios, because they're time tested. You know what I mean?
Sure. Sure.
So it's a conglomeration. But one of the things I realized was so interesting. I put together the Prolific course, I don't know, 3-4 years ago. And then suddenly I began to realize that other people started to put together their own productivity courses. And what I found in that was they were charging like 5 times the amount.
That happens, doesn't it?
For mine.
And
like, what?
You kind of recognize some of your stuff and what they're doing too, I would guess.
I haven't looked deep enough. You know, I never bought those courses, but I just looked at it and said, interesting. But that's okay. I mean, you know.
Yeah, that's part of how.
I just found it. I found it interesting. And, you know, because I'm not someone who I'm not a marketer, so I'm not going to spend, hundreds or thousands of dollars on Facebook ads to try to sell a product. It's there. People who know my work, they find it. Those who have benefited share it with others. But, you know, in this business of productivity, I can see that lots of people have made a lot of money off of it. And I just think that for me personally, I just think that, if you're interested in this area, you don't have to spend hundreds of thousands of dollars on this kind of material to benefit. You know,
sure,
there are less expensive options that are going to give you just as much value, perhaps more.
Options. Absolutely. That's part of what we're trying to do here, provide some valuable resources to people that they can hang on to. And then if they choose to go deeper, that they can. I imagine a part of what I feel very confident of this, actually, that you in your course and your other ways of overcoming your own issues of productivity, that, you know, you have kind of the nuts and bolts. You mentioned a little bit about that here just now, you know, the how to's and what to do when that and so on. But another part of that has to be that unknown, that sense that you can't put a name on it, but it is that power greater than yourself. It's that spiritual realm. It is that drive, that force that causes you, that gut level stuff that causes you to want to drive through and get this done. Say a little bit about this power greater than yourself, spiritual power, something else that may help drive a person, about how that may have happened to you, or help drive, be an opportunity for others to help their transformation take place.
Yeah, I got to tell you, I'm someone who is convinced that Jesus of Nazareth, who unfortunately has been misrepresented even in our time, with so much that's involved in Christianity, whether and particularly in the media, you know, and television shows in Hollywood, how they presented him is such a weak person and such an unappealing person.
Right.
And what I have discovered in my own actual reading of the Gospels and in my own experience with him is that he is the most compelling, exciting, incredible, remarkable, stunning, glorious human being and divine being, because I do believe he's more than human.
Absolutely.
Person that any individual can know. And I say that even to the Christian, you know, mm-hmm. most Christians will say, well, yeah, Jesus, he's my savior. He's wonderful. He died on the cross for my sins, but he's so much beyond that. And I have found in my own life, I cannot imagine doing what I have done. And I'm not just talking about through the lens of productivity. I mean, there are lots of people who are productive, but they don't have a relationship with God. They don't know God.
Right.
To me, Jesus of Nazareth, Jesus the Christ, Christ means Messiah, this person Jesus that we, you know, have our entire dating system following, you know, B.C.,
right.
AD, you know, 2,000 years. What does that mean? We're in 2018 right now. That's 2,018 years after the birth of some human being.
Right. History was split in two by that event.
Absolutely. There's nobody who's moved the dial of history beyond him, even in the East. And my point here is that there is a supernatural element to all that I have done. And, yes, a person can be productive. A person can actually produce value without knowing him. But there's not the touch of the divine. There's not the touch of the supernatural. There's not the touch of eternity on it. And it can only move people so much. You know, there is the good life. And I think, you know, we live in America and we think of the good life as having money in the bank. And, you know, we're free from debt. We have a lot of possessions and we're educated. And, you know, we can move up the ladder in our career. But there is something that Jesus called the abundant life. And that blows the soot out of the good life. That is beyond the good. And it's what all human beings crave. And this is the reason, Brad, why many, many extremely wealthy people are miserable.
Yes. That's is a common theme, isn't it? A common theme.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Absolutely. You know, I know entrepreneurs and I know some of them and they know others who are incredibly wealthy human beings, but they are some of the most miserable human beings you'll ever meet. And it is because of the lack of this eternal divine element in their life. And so for me, I cannot envision life. I cannot envision work. I cannot envision productivity, motivation, anything along those lines without Jesus Christ, who is a real person who can be known, human and divine, but so different than the way he's portrayed in so much of Christian culture, I would say, and pop culture today.
Absolutely. I think it might be a matter, a little bit, Frank, of how you keep score. You know, for some people, the score might be, you know, your bottom line of your bank account or the car, your house or whatever, this type of thing. But the bottom line for those of us who want to go deeper is a life transformed and being not only transformed ourselves, but being productive in such a way that makes an impact on others and helps to achieve a greater good. So that's what I'm hearing here, and that's where I'd like to be as well. And a part of that process is how what we do does impact other people and how we're motivated by that. So I'm getting to the emotional part of things here now, Frank. How does an emotional connection, either with other people, the people that you serve or loved ones in your life, how does that drive you, and how can that be important in a life that's transformed for other folks?
Well, something that is basic to human life, as well as all organic life, is that every organism has a habitat in which it lives, breathes, and has its being. And if you remove an organism from that habitat, it's essentially either going to die or it's not going to be able to reproduce. Okay, this is true for in the animal kingdom. You know, you take a polar bear out of its natural habitat, it's either going to die or it won't be able to reproduce. And for the person who is connected to God, a spiritual person, I hate to use the word Christian because it's been so maligned and associated with so many horrible things. But you take a Jesus follower who has God's life dwelling in them, there's a habitat for them as well. And in other words, we cannot live this life, the spiritual life, alone. Mm-hmm. We cannot do it by ourselves. So the kind of connections you're talking about are indispensable. And, you know, thankfully, you know, I have a wonderful wife who is, supports me and is very quick to adjust what I'm veering off, you know, my GPS, as it were, and is the voice of God in my life, but one that is very supportive. And I have some very close friends who are co-laborers in this journey, who some are ahead of me in the Lord, and those individuals nobody would know because they're not well-known figures. And then there are others, Brad, believe it or not, I believe that we can have connections with people who are no longer alive.
Okay, yes.
Through their writings and their speaking. They may not be here in the flesh anymore. They may have passed through the veil, but they still can mentor us, they can still teach us, and we can have a connection with them. I think it was Jim Rohn who said that you are the average of all of the five people you associate with the most. Well, I think that's true.
Yes.
But some of those five people don't necessarily have to be living.
Mm-hmm.
Because of books, because of audios, we can have a connection to people who are no longer with us. And so, you know, I do have people like that. And then, you know, beyond that, I have readers. I have many readers who read my blog. I blog every Thursday, put out a new article, send it over email, and it appears on my blog and it stays there. I treasure the feedback I get from my readers, because very often, Brad, if I'm in a time of motivation, some of my readers will actually inspire me, not only adjust things I've written. Hey, you know, it would be better if you said it this way, or what about this? Hey, you know, that's good. I need to go back and rephrase that. I need to reframe that. I need to add this point, or I need to adjust, you know, the way I said it. But beyond that, just the support, just the word of encouragement that, hey, what you've said has transformed me, boy, that's powerful.
Yes, and as a part of that, being accountable as well, having someone to relate to be accountable to them and they to you?
Absolutely. Although I like the word editable, not edible, editable, better than accountable. You know, we need to edit one another.
Okay.
I'm in the field of writing, and so whenever I write a piece, I give it to an editor, and they edit it. They make it stronger. They adjust it. And so I think in the Christian world, we do that with one another. We edit one another. And, of course, the great editor is the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. But he uses human vessels to improve, to give feedback, and to, as it were, edit one another. So yes, definitely. So all of those factors, you know, the individuals, via family, close friends, associates, both living and non-living, and my readers, they all play a major role in, you know, facilitating my own transformation. And I have an emotional connection with all of them.
Absolutely. I love that concept. It's a new one on me of having an editor, so to speak, that you partner with. I love that concept. Thank you for that. Hey, Frank, I want to first talk for a minute about some of the really pragmatic things that you do. What are some of your disciplines or habits or routines or things that you do that help you sustain transformation in you and in others? And how's that translated into some of the things that you are involved with and masterminds and some things like that? Tell us a little bit about how you do some of the things that you do.
Yeah, that's great. And there's a very long list of this, and I do talk about it in the Prolific course in a very detailed way. But I'll give you a few. One of the practices that I have is I do an activity audit on a regular basis. And an activity audit is where I look at everything I'm doing in a given day and a given week. I track how I'm spending my time. And what I've noticed is that I didn't used to do this for many years. And I noticed that if we don't do that, we really have no idea what we're spending our time on.
You could drift off pretty easily if you don't keep track of things, isn't that right?
Oh, I'll tell you what.
And distractions is a huge issue.
Absolutely. And you can find that we're using a lot of our day wasted, you know, and we're putting too much time in certain things that there's no payoff. There's no RIO, not just for ourselves, but for others.
Yeah. Right? Well, social media and things like that are designed to do just that, aren't
they? Designed, yes. They're time vampires.
Yes.
So, you know, whenever I hear a person say, well, I just don't have the time for whatever it is, you know, my response to that is, you know, busyness is a myth.
Okay.
We all have the same amount of time in a given day, in a given week, in a given year. And, you know, if most people stop binging on their favorite TV show or playing games on Facebook or doing whatever they do to distract themselves from real work, they would find that they have loads of time to do productive work. And you know, productive work, too, also, we do need downtime. We do need leisure. That's part of productivity. But what you choose to do in that arena and how often you spend in that arena, those are important factors. So that's one of the things I do is an activity audit. Another key to my success is I should say productivity. The verdict's out on success. I think God is the one that measures success. But in terms of productivity, I have found my sweet spot in terms of my wiring as to when I'm most productive.
Okay.
And so for me, that's in the mornings. Other people, it's in the evenings, right? So if you don't get in touch with that, it's going to hurt you in the productivity arena. So you need to find out when you're most productive. And so I work in blocks of focused time without any distractions in the mornings. And I do have a system where I write down, and I don't use digital for this. I actually write it out, and I do believe there is an ingredient that's lost if we move to digital with this. This is my own personal observation.
Sure.
But I actually write down the night before the most important things that I need to do, but they don't just relate to work. They also relate to personal, right? So it's not just a list of business points or points that have to do with work. It also has to do with exercise. It also has to do with eating. It also has to do with, you know, errands around the house or work around the house. And so I'm very focused on that list, and I go through it. It's a ritual for me, you know.
Yes.
And anything that is not finished, then I move it to the next day. But that has been an incredible motivation for me and an incredible focus point to do that. And the other thing, too, that I would add, and there are many rituals I have, I'm just giving you kind of
a
few of them, is to know where everything is hugely important. So
you mean physically know where things are at?
Yes.
Okay.
Know where everything is, you know.
All right, I'm with you.
So I have a system right here. I'm sitting in my study, and to the left of me, I'm sitting down at my desk here. I can touch a hanger on my wall that has folders. And so every folder is organized based on various things, you know, editing, mastermind, goals, you know, the next book, the list of upcoming books, the different events I'm holding. And I have this, you know, book titles, blog titles, for example, a whole list of blog titles I can draw from. I know where everything is. And so, you know, there have been studies done where people lose so much time
just looking for stuff.
Looking for stuff, yes.
I hear that one. I'm guilty of that one, my friend.
And so I tell you what, this system that I have, which I go into detail in the Prolific course, is so awesome because it uses wall space, right?
Okay.
Instead of having pictures on my wall, I do have on other walls I have pictures. This is right here by my desk is dedicated to everything that I use. So I am more productive because of things like I mentioned, as well as other things that I have built into my life, Brad. I am more productive in 4 hours of time than many, many people are in 24 hours.
Well, that's basically evident in the amount of product that you put, amount of content that's out there, and that's impressive. But one of the areas that you are involved with now that is producing some interesting results, kind of beyond, you know, the books and blogs and so on, is you are becoming more productive in the area of mentoring and coaching, or being involved with people in areas of masterminds. And I know you're involved with this, so tell us about how that things such as masterminds and coaching and teaching in these areas, how that can be helpful to us, those of us who want to be more productive and more impactful to the kingdom.
That's a great question. I'm glad you asked it. About 5 years ago, I was invited to be part of a mastermind group of entrepreneurs. Now, they all were Christians. And I'm not going to mention the names, but if I mention the names, I'm sure many of your listeners would know who they are. They're very well known. Many of them are multiple best-selling authors and so forth. But they're all known for their entrepreneurial products and resources. but again, they're all Christians. So that was the first time I was exposed to a mastermind. I had no idea what they were, as many people do not. And I tell you, I loved it. I love the process. I love the framework. I love the schedule. I loved how we were all teaching one another, and we were all learning from one another, and we were all helping each other to find our own unique breakthroughs in the various problems and struggles we had. Now, that mastermind was focused on business. And while I'm a Christian author and a speaker, I also help authors to write, whether they're Christian or not, to write books. I teach them how to promote books from my experience, the things I've learned. And so that's a business. That's not a ministry.
Yes.
You know, people pay to attend a writing seminar. Mine's called Scribe, and we have one every year. And so I teach authors how to write a book. I also have another a course called the Buzz Seminar. I'm one of 9 other speakers, so that's business too. So I'm just trying to give context to what this mastermind was. So yeah, mastermind focused on business. Well, I got the idea this concept of a mastermind would be tremendously helpful to people in ministry, particularly pastors and teachers, missionaries, seminary professors. Anybody that's in ministry would benefit from a mastermind group.
And a bit of a new concept for many involved with ministry too, I take it.
Oh, that's what I have found. So what I did in 2015 is I created, as far as I know, Brad, we're speaking here in February 2018, but as far as I know, it is the first mastermind event specifically designed for people in ministry, pastors and teachers. And I just, you know, my mantra that I flew under was, this might not work, but I'm going to try it anyway. So I put together this.
But it kind of goes back to your original question we talked a little while ago. There must be more, in a way.
There must be more. This might not work.
Right.
So that was the feeling I had, is I'm going to give it a shot. It may fall flat on its face, but let's try it. So I invited a number of pastors and teachers who I relate to on Facebook, just friends of mine, some of whom I never met before, and I called it Ministry Mind. Ministry Mind 2015 was the first. It was the inaugural. We did it in Orlando, Florida. We had, at that time, it was rather large. We had 14 to 16. I can't remember if it was 16 or 14. I think I'm going to say 14. We had 14 ministers show up, and we spent 3 days together, and we followed the mastermind pattern where we all presented something to each other, so we were all learning from each other. And then we had the hot seat where each person shared a challenge or a struggle or a problem they were having in their ministry, and then everyone else crowdsourced their wisdom and gave answers to it. And then we had lots of fellowship and lots of shared meals, and we went into all sorts of other arenas and areas where we talked about how to help one another. And then we created a closed Facebook group so that we can carry on the relationships. Well, I got to tell you, it was explosive. And none of those people who attended had ever experienced anything like it. It was mind-boggling. It was life-changing. It was transformative. And so I thought, well, you know what? This worked pretty good, so let's try it again. Okay. So in 2016, we did another one. 2017, we had two of them. And then this year, 2018, we're having two again in the fall.
Well, that sounds awesome.
My plan is to do one every year. We now dialed it back to 12 people max. 10 to 12 people really is ideal. 14, 13 is really too much. So now we have 10 to 12 coming to each one. These are premium events. They're very valuable. And I tell you that every time we've had it, it's been remarkable. And what's so interesting too, Brad, is that the ministers who come, whether they're pastors or teachers or seminary professors or missionaries, you know, they don't know each other. Mm. And they're coming from all different parts of the country. And sometimes in other countries. We had one person from Nigeria come.
Wow.
Last year. We had a person come from Canada. But they don't know each other. And yet, every time we've had it, the synergy in the room is incredible. The unity in the room is incredible. And there's no talk about theological disagreements or doctrinal differences or politics. We talk about the Lord and we talk about our ministries, and it is so incredible. And it is one of the best things that I've ever been involved in. But the hurdle, the obstacle, is that most pastors in America and most Bible teachers in America, and I would say abroad, have no idea what a mastermind is. And so whenever I have invited pastors and teachers to the mastermind event, Ministry Mind, they immediately conflate it with a conference, a seminar, a retreat, a pastor's network meeting, you know, those breakfasts or lunches that pastors get together. And this is so far
Talk shop, so to speak, yeah.
Yeah, it's so far removed from any of those things. And so one of the things that I'm trying to do is educate people in ministry as to the power of a mastermind and how effective they are. I'll put it to you this way. I wrote a little article about this not long ago, but there are many conferences in the United States that go on every year, and they'll draw thousands of pastors. And I'm sure you know this.
Oh, yeah.
You're a pastor yourself.
I've been to many, believe me.
You've been to many.
Yeah.
And of course, there's those for the denomination, and then there's those that are part of movements, whether it's evangelical movements or church planting movements or whatever it is. And so they draw thousands of leads. And those people, those men and women, will spend thousands of dollars to attend those conferences, not just for the ticket, but you talk about the plane price, the price of the plane ticket, the price of your hotel room, food, and all that. Well, here's the thing. For the most part, those people are looking for a breakthrough in their ministry.
Sure.
They're looking for something they can take away that's going to take them to the next level.
Right.
And what they're really hoping for is that one of those speakers on the platform, and I've spoken in these conferences before, and I'm not putting down conferences. Conferences have their place.
They have their role and their purpose, but I hear you're seeking something a little different, a little deeper, aren't you?
Oh, absolutely. And the point is that every person who attends one of those conferences is looking and hoping that one of those speakers that steps up on that platform and gives a message is going to give them the breakthrough, is going to give them the breakthrough that they're hoping for.
Mm-hmm.
And the truth is, the reality is that oftentimes it never comes.
Mm-hmm.
And the only interaction they have with people is usually, you know, during the meals or outside in the lobby, and it's very minimal, right?
Yes.
Well,
yes.
A mastermind event is totally focused and designed to give every person who attends the breakthrough they're looking for. That's the entire focus, you know? So you come specifically not only to get the breakthrough, but everyone else is focused on giving you the breakthrough, right?
Yes, yes.
And the other thing is you get a hand in participating. You're not just a passive listener sitting in a chair listening to somebody speak. You also present, and you also get involved in giving other people the breakthrough they need.
So you're contributing, you're receiving, there's a synergy, and there's an energy that comes about. Yeah.
Absolutely, and it is focused on the breakthrough. So you actually come. One of the things I have everyone do is I ask them to give some time to think about, okay, what do I want to walk away from this event being different? You know, how do I want to change? What do I want to see change? What's the actionable thing that I'm looking for? You know, I have this problem and I want it solved when I leave. And we actually go to work on those things. It is remarkable.
Actually helping people find their own pathway to their promised life. It's one of the ways I like to put it.
Yeah.
That's great. Well, Frank, if people want to find out more about your mastermind or any of the things that you're working on, how can they do that?
Well, on my blog, that's home base for everything. They can find all of it in banners and so forth on the right-hand side. But if they go to frankviola.org, they can subscribe to my email list. Every Thursday I put out an email. But also on the right-hand side, it has everything. And also I have a menu at the top where they can find the podcast and different events. If they're interested in the mastermind for people in ministry, they just go to ministrymind.org. Ministrymind is one word, ministrymind.org. And if they're interested in the productivity course that we talked about, they can go to prolificcourse.com. So maybe you might want to put those in your show notes.
Absolutely. We will certainly do that. And the overall website is frankviola.org.
Yes,
yeah.
They can find everything there.
Well, Frank, just one more thing, and then I'm going to let you go. I'm going to find out one little tiny bit about your life beyond your work here, but it has to do with if my wife and I were to go to spend an evening with you and your wife and have dinner, what are we having for dinner, and then what are we going to do afterwards? What are we going to talk about, or what activity are we going to be involved with?
Oh, well, my wife is an amazing cook. And she would probably, I tell you what, she would probably make some kind of an Italian dish.
Oh, that sounds great.
That would be better than any Italian restaurant you've ever been to, okay?
Okay. I got you.
Take my word on that.
All right.
And then we would probably go outside in the patio, and we might have some coffee. And you know what? We would just talk about the Lord. We would talk about ministry. We would talk about the podcast, yours and mine. We would talk about what the Lord is doing in our lives. We would talk about what we do for fun. We would talk about what we're working on. And it would just be a great conversation.
We would personally go a little bit deeper, sounds like.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And that's the theme of what Frank Viola is all involved with, about helping all of us go deeper. And it's been our pleasure to have on the Pathway to Promise podcast today, Frank Viola. How about that conversation we just had with Frank Viola? So much there. If you couldn't get some good stuff out of this interview, I'm not sure what to say, because there's just so much depth to what our conversation between Frank and I had to offer to you. And let's just break down just a few of the takeaway points that I think are going to be very helpful to you if you truly in your life want to break through and get past points of desperation and know that the way of doing that is getting deeper in your life. spiritually and otherwise. Let's just understand that just a little bit, barrier, a little bit more. One aspect of what Frank talked about is about the barriers. You know, that the barriers that we have in order to have breakthroughs in our life is that so often we are complacent. We just are satisfied with what we have. He called it the content with the milk is what he called it in Christian parlance, that we are, you know, we see the Christian life or the deeper life is just kind of a supplement to our work life and our, you know, sporting events and other things that are part of our life. But going deeper is not appealing to all of us. And I just got a feeling that if you're listening to this podcast, that you're not going to stay stuck there. It's about staying, people choosing to stay stuck. And that's one thing that we're not going to be satisfied about. You know, Frank talked about in his own life about he felt that this real search for meaning. And here on the Pathway to Promise podcast, we're all about the search for meaningfulness to overcome meaninglessness in your life. And that how it's a journey and that's a process, but we have to yearn for more. That there's got to be more. There's got to be more. I hope you heard Frank talk about that time and time again, that there's got to be more. And then in order to get go deeper in our life and to get to be more, we have to understand that in the Christian life, it's about Christ living in us, not just understanding kind of in a theoretical basis or some sort of a head knowledge basis, but it's about Christ living with us. And if you want Christ to live within you or you want change in your life, you got to go deep. You can't just give it just lip service. You can't just kind of let it slip on by or be something that is a addendum to our life. So we all have these crisis moments, but also Frank goes into how these crisis moments, people oftentimes in crisis moments either turn away from God or turn deeper toward God. And when we want to run deeper toward the revelation, that's when revolutionary change can take place within us. And what Frank's all about, and really what I'm all about, is a ministry to desperate souls, people who are hungry to overcome and deal with the hurt in their lives. And in order to do that, some of the things Frank talked about is overcoming a lack of focus, overcoming a lack of direction, overcoming the opportunities for distraction, and to determine precisely what your purpose is. And in order to do that, you got to work at it. Frank talked about how he read and how he studied and the realm of productivity, not only in spiritual and Christian circles, but in all kinds of circles, and take the best practices and apply it to your life and come together with a hybrid system in order to be effective. And isn't that what you want to be in your life? I know I do want to be in my life. I want to be effective. I want to be profoundly effective in my marriage, in my parenting of my children, of my grandchild, my work in the church, and my work in other organizations that I'm with. I want to be effective. And Frank talked about this whole thing about being making connections as a form of creativity. And when we make these connections with other resources, then we create our own hybrid practices. And that's important thing to be. Frank also talked about the power greater than yourself, about how Christ was not a weak person, and how we in our lives must claim strength. One of the precepts that we use here on the Pathway to Promise podcast, the Pathway to Promise process, is that the first thing we have to do is take bold action. The second thing we need to do is draw on the power of a spiritual realm. And so that goes into these things, taking action and drawing on a power greater than themselves. And then when you do that, then our life is deeper and better than just the good life. It is what the Bible calls the abundant life. And as Frank put it, it blows the soot out of the good life when you have the abundant life. And such important another part of this was the emotional connection, about we all live in the habitat of community. And that in this habitat of community is how we reproduce, the good stuff in life. And we need to be connected to a force greater than ourselves in community. That's the emotional connection. That's with the people that we love. That's the third part of our Pathway to Promise process, is the fuel of loving relationships. and how mentors are important to us, both the actual mentors, actual people who speak into our lives, as well as people who have gone before us, people we can read about and learn about who can mentor us and guide us as well. So being a reader, being a learner is a big part of this connectional process. One of the concepts that I thought Frank really touched on, which is really awesome, was this whole notion that he mentioned of the editable relationship, which just goes beyond being an accountable relationship. It's a relationship where others can help us adjust our lives and let the Holy Spirit work through them to help edit us. And we, in turn, can help edit them. And that's I like that concept. I'm going to borrow that one a lot, the editable relationship. In that process, Frank talked to us about some of the practices that we can use to make our life more effective. Did you hear him talk about activity audits, tracking what you do, how you spend your time, and that you know, the whole thing about busyness is just a myth that we need to overcome? We all get the same amount of hours a day, right? We all get the same amount of time. It's how we organize and use our time, how we focus, which makes all the difference in the world. And how in that process, you know, you can find your sweet life or your sweet time, I should say, of your most productive time and use that and organize even your physical spaces to be more productive. There are some practical tips there. And, of course, Frank lifted up his course on theprolificcourse.com, which will be helpful to you there as well. Concept that Frank touched on that I'm very much in tune with is the practice of being part of a mastermind. That's the synergy that happens when we work with other like-minded people to help one another, help us all to get better. This is much more than about being part of a conference or a seminar or even taking a course. It's about the practice of coming together with some other people, and you speak into their life, and they speak into yours, and you have crowdsourced wisdom, and it's a small group experience. I'm a big believer in small groups, and it's where you help one another, the mastermind process. I'm a part of a mastermind myself. In the future, look to have mastermind groups connected to the Pathway to Promise process. If you're interested in that, just make contact with me through the website, pathwaypromise.com, and we'll start a list of people interested in being part of a mastermind process in order to get better in their life. And this is one of the great ways that we have breakthroughs in our life. So just a lot of breakthrough concepts we got from Frank here today. So I certainly commend to you all his books. I've read many of his books, and he's got a great podcast called The Deeper Life. And you can check all this out at Frank's website, frankviola.org, and a little bit more about his mastermind group at ministrymind.org. And he's got several other courses as well, but one that we mentioned specifically was theprolificcourse.com. I'm sure that you'll check that out as a means and a resource for you. We, of course, here at the Pathway to Promise podcast with Dr. Brad Miller, want to be a resource in your life as well. We want to be your guide, be a part of the process to help you break through and get through the dilemmas and the desperation of depression, of divorce, of disease, of even the death of a loved one, anything that drags you down. We want to be a part of the process to help get you through that. We call this working through the wilderness experience that you have in your life in order to achieve what we call the promised life. That's that place of peace and prosperity and purpose. You can find out a lot more about what we do here at the Pathway Promise podcast by going to our website, pathwaypromise.com. And there we have a free resource for you, a gift that you might want to take advantage of. I encourage, hope that you do. It's called How to Frame Your Day for Success in 4 minutes a Day. And it's just a little resource we have for you there, a guide to help you start and end your day successfully. And I think you're going to find it helpful. So go over pathwaypromise.com and pick up that gift right there. And if what we are doing here on the Pathway to Promise podcast is helpful to you, we hope that you can just be helpful to us by spreading the good word to others about the Pathway to Promise podcast. I bet you know folks in your life who interviews like this and teaching like this would be helpful to. Please share that with them in your social media network. Facebook, Twitter, other ways that you have, LinkedIn, and also just verbally, socially. People you work with or people you go to church with, people in your own family may find this podcast helpful. If you do, we'd really appreciate you going over to to iTunes and giving us a subscription and a rating, 5-star rating, if you will. That would be great. And a review of what we are about here. A few lines that would be helpful. And if you really liked what we were talking about here today with Frank Viola, if you go to the review section on iTunes and just leave us your email and just say, I want the book there and your review, you're going to have a chance to receive in a drawing that we're having a signed copy of Frank's book, From Eternity to Here. So you might want to take advantage of that. We'd appreciate that so much. It has been just an incredible privilege and joy for me to be with you today. And I know you got lots of choices in your life, in the podcast world and otherwise, of what goes into those earbuds of yours or what goes into that Alexa programming of yours. We know that you do and appreciate you so much. We love you and we care for you. We want to speak into your life and to be helpful in your life because we know that all of us have things to struggle with. All of us has things to deal with. All of us have things that we got to get through in order to achieve our promised life. And we're here because we truly believe that you have a promised life, a God-given promised life of peace, prosperity, and purpose, and that there is a pathway for you personally, in order to get through that wilderness journey. And the proper people need to speak into your life. And we're hopeful that we can be some of those guides in your life to help you overcome those challenges to achieve that promised life. I believe that it can happen. And I promise you that I will do everything I can to speak into your life to help you to achieve your promised life. So this is Dr. Brad Miller. And I just want to be an encouraging voice in your life. And so until next time we meet again, remember to keep your promises because there's power in a promise kept.
Thanks so much for taking the Pathway to Promise with Dr. Brad Miller. As a subscriber, you'll be a vital part of the Pathway to Promise community. Visit us on the web at pathwaypromise.com. Until next time, remember to stay on your Pathway to Promise.